I want to lay the axe to the root of these trees that have controlled your emotional and psychological being your entire life. That's what we're about. We're about what's necessary for freedom. Now, interesting, I was interviewed today by D Magazine for 2.5 hours. All I did was make fun of the writer. Because she goes to a Bible church. We had fun with that. But anyway, I said, my God, the purpose of a church is so that we as a group of people can know so much about each other that you can't get by with acting. And that's what's happening here. You know, some of you successfully hidden thus far. Well, guess what? Now, it's not a matter of none of you want to hide. I know you all well enough. But some of you don't know how to stop hiding. Don't you want the joy of abandonment? The ability to give freely, openly, always, instant, in season and out of season? That's when you're completed, is when you're giving. You know, I fortunately, my job is to see. Well, I can see all of you in that position of giving. Now, and I'm reminded, she'll forgive me, I'm reminded of Joyce Anna. When Joyce Anna first came to the group, she was a little fat girl. And she sat in such a way, and I know this day and now, but she sat in, you know. You remember? And, if I looked at her crosswise, she'd cry. Well, now she's macho girl. I mean, I never ever even see her concerned with herself. She's always involved. Well, that's the heritage is set before each one of you. And I don't know anybody that's happier than she is. Anyone whose needs are met any better with no effort in terms of, but it's like, your heritage is to give. And in the giving, you're fulfilled automatically. And the lie, any lie, every single time that your eyes come back on yourself, it's a lie. No matter how sincere you are. You're to be high priests and priestesses. Your job is to, you're taken from among men to serve. It's the highest thing you can do. Not to live in some stupid little city called Dallas, which shouldn't exist in the first place because it's built on usury. There's nothing real here. And you're sitting around on a little bump on a log somewhere saying, oh, poor me. You're to be rulers of universes. That's what's set before you, not some silly little thing that, and you're always going to be tempted. That tempter is always there, sticking his head up. Well, you don't have to pay attention to him. If you dwell in it, you live in bondage and fear. If you could only see for an instant what's set before you, what your heritage truly is, what your inheritance is, what rights, what privileges are a part of that. I mean, you automatically forget yourself. You're in training, you're in basic training. You may not have a very good drill instructor, but you're still in basic training from the spiritual standpoint. You don't have any other function. Now, this basic training is a little different than the Marine training. In one sense, this makes the Marine training look like Sunday school, because the battle is here. An enemy isn't flab and weakness in terms of external phenomena. The enemy is the lies of self-seeking. The lies that make you believe you're separate. The lies that make you believe that constantly you have to protect your ass. Oh, I gotta take this action, this protect me. I've gotta have this. The end result of the basic training is you will have learned that in whatsoever state you find yourself, therewith to be content. It doesn't matter whether you're abased or abounding. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if everybody in the room thinks you're a fool or it does whatever. Whatever state you're in, therein you're content. That's the end result. That's graduation. The enemies of that graduation that we're addressing, that particular enemy, is shame. Because shame will always and ever make you feel like you're incomplete. You always need something else. Or someone else to make you complete. That's the enemy. To make you. Well, that's the enemy we're going to Uzi this weekend.
Will that enable us to embrace the death or whatever it might be?
Hopefully. You can embrace it now.
It seems like, though, like as Jackie was saying, she hangs on to, like, a couple of things. I've had similar circumstances where I hang on to various things or I run from things. And I know Beth and I talked about it. Harry's talked about it. And you say embrace the death, like that death that's right before me right now. You say embrace it, make friends with it. It seems like something's in between.
Fear.
And you've said that that's shame also.
If what we're saying is right, then shame is the master of all emotions, right? It's the thing that defines your separateness. On the other side of that cloud, that death, is God.
But I yet don't trust in that.
Huh?
But I yet don't trust in that.
Neither did Israel. They didn't believe until they were saved. So don't worry about it. Israel, standing on this side of the Red Sea, they're shaking in their boots. All they could see is, oh, whoa, poor me, oh, shit.
That's in the water.
Yeah. They didn't do anything. God saved them. When they got on the other side of the thing, the sea thingy, wet stuff. And it's all waters in that case. It's always the signal, the waters of judgment. When they got on the other side of it, they were saved. Then they believed. Huh?
For a while.
Well, some of them believed.
Yeah, I experience that all the time. It's like, you know, God has this big thing for me that's real neat, or a table full of food, and it's like saying, go ahead and eat it. But it's like, I'm afraid, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the guy was getting the diamond at the beginning of the show, it's like God saying, here, you can have it. But I'm afraid as soon as I touch it, then
your arm will fall off.
Right, my arm will fall.
Well, where do you think that comes from?
His high place identity.
Well, you know, one of the things that's gone on in your life is that, it happens, is that in your mind you segmented things. And you say, okay, this part over here is God stuff or spiritual stuff, and this part over here is world stuff or natural stuff. And maybe someday they'll get together. And this part over here is reasonably good, And this part over here is bad, and they never will get together. And this part over here is the hidden part that I won't let anybody know, especially my mother. And so that segmenting of your life causes this lie. And the lie is that either God, either everything in the universe is spiritual, or nothing is. And if you can't see the spiritual meaning at any given point, then the response to it is not to try to, I don't know how to say it. The response to it is always, forgive me, Father. It's not, oh, I got to try to figure this out. But when you run into something that you think of as, well, you don't even get in that. You don't even get that far, because there's a spirit stuff over here and God stuff, and it's maybe has something to do with forever. And then there's the world stuff over here. And so over here in the world stuff, you have given your life to Baal, to Babylon, to the false god. You believe that you have to do this so this action will take place. Now, maybe grace exists, but it's over here in this pile. But over here in world stuff, then I've got to take this action so that result will be seen. And if I do this, then I'm rewarded, and if I do that, then I'm punished. Two piles of stuff. That's what the purpose of basic training is to get rid of those two piles, so there's only one. You got it? You think it's optional. The world thinks it's optional. The reporter today, it blew her away when I told her that there's not one thing in the Bible that's optional. Every man is praying. Every man is worshiping. Every man is tithing. And what you're doing over here isn't world stuff. It's Baal stuff. It's worshiping the wrong God. God's over here and he's jealous as hell. But he's jealous and he's forgiving, and secondly, it's his good pleasure to give you all the stuff over here you're trying to get by your own efforts. Well, that seems kind of dumb then. If this God over here is loving, kind, perfect, and it's his good pleasure to give you everything without effort, then why in the hell are you playing that sign pile? For one reason. Because your mind wants to be like that. So you try to, over here in this sand pile, to make yourself as a god. But you do it so sincerely and with great tears. Oh, poor me. But really what it is you're trying to be like God. And God says, the moment you stop trying to be like that, and just say, Father, I'm yours, and then you put all your marbles in that other sand pile, it's called grace. All kinds of neat shit happens. Now, what keeps you from doing that? Well, one of the things that keeps you from doing that is shame.
I can't accept the possibility.
You can't accept the possibility that you could have all things freely.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Brenda's talked to several of her friends, and none of them, especially my sister, her mother, my sister's she's never darkened the door of a church. None of her friends have, but in every case, when Brenda tried to explain what was going on with her here, about that she's just trying to give it all over and present herself the living sacrifice and just relax and rest, without exception, every one of her mother and every one of her friends said, well, God helps those that help themselves. You've got to take control. Here's atheist. My sister's the biggest atheist in the world. And she's saying to her daughter, God helps those that help themselves. And you laugh. It sounds absolutely ludicrous. But you each secretly believe that.
Something just dawned on me. You said that everybody's over in this pile trying to be like the God that's got the other pile. And you said this, but it just dawned on me that the only difference between a Christian and a Jew and whatever is the image of the God that they're trying to be like. I just happened to call mine Jesus. Somebody else calls him Krishna or whatever.
Somebody else calls him Bruce. Somebody else calls him Krishna or Muhammad or...
Mm-hmm. But it's the same.
It's all the same. There's only one God. Anyway, that's what, okay, what we're trying to do. Some of you have 2 cent piles, maybe. A few of you have only 2 cent piles left. Most of you have 6 or 7. I had 11 cent piles before I became a believer. That meant I was 11 different people. I was one people to my mother. I was another people to business. I was another people politically. I was another people in the society thing. I was another, 11 different people. Well, that's because I was convinced that each of them was a separate world. And so I had to mold myself, or else try to mold them, into that image for that world, for that sand pile. Well, you don't want to do that. That's
I can say that clear because my peace depends on which sand pile I'm in. So it's like if I'm in this one and I don't have peace, it's like I'm trying to find the right sand pile. Jump back and forth.
Wouldn't you like to be the same person in every sand pile? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what your heritage is.
I've got this image of all these other sand piles, and I don't know, I guess it goes back to animals. Have you ever had a cat goes out into the sandbox and...
He poops there.
That's what God's doing to our sand piles.
What's wrong with being a lot of different kinds of people, though? Is it wrong?
It's not really wrong, it's a lie. And which one are you?
Well, can't you be one person that wear a lot of different costumes?
The world is just like that.
I mean, it's just fun. It's just a game.
But it's a game of control.
It's just play.
No, it's not. It's control. It makes you God of your little world. You understand?
No.
You control what you will allow that sandbox to see.
Yeah.
That makes you the God of the sandbox.
Is it rolls?
What is it if it isn't? What is play?
Play is just enjoying being.
No, in that environment, play is calculated.
It's manipulated.
It's calculated, manipulated. And the power from that play, the enjoyment from the play, comes from the power of the play. That's why Israel had no drama. Ancient Israel was the only society that has ever existed that had no drama. Because life was the abandonment of self, not in the manipulation of self and others.
It's like playing a role, trying to be a good daughter. You be certain things to your mother, and yet when you're a good friend to appear, for certain other things, you act a different way, you say different things,
yeah.
And you essentially align to both your mother and your friend. Or maybe you're being real with one of them, but,
what if you're the same person?
How do you define your person?
that person in there, the observer, is that the one on the throne? Or is that...
What's the observer doing? No, the observer is observing. It's like watching a movie.
It's not living.
It's not living, it's observing.
It's not participating?
Well, again, back to basics. The purpose of time and space, right? Everything in time and space is to perfect that, the innocence of that seed that's within you, to cause that innocence to be transformed to holiness by antagonism, by living. If that life in there is lived either, as you say, by playing or by watching, observing television, movies, or whatever, then there's never a reality that's taking place. It's always a controlled mechanism. You control your response to it. There's never abandonment of self. There's never living on the edge. There's never living in that... You live in the realm of the soul, ever and always. And therefore, there's never a testing of the life or the spirit. You always have an escape valve. You always have an ace in the hole. And eventually that... You'll become an old lady watching
Pat Robertson.
Or, having 47 cats. So, aren't they cute? The Habakkuk, the prophet, says that shame is a sin against yourself. Now, the New Testament says that my job is to, in meekness, teach those that oppose themselves, that sin against themselves. Now, whether you may discuss with me whether or not I do it in meekness or not, but
the meek word.
Meek part.
But
we'll get a committee.
Yeah, we can take a vote on it. Shut up, Alexis. But can you understand, all of you, that shame is a sin against yourself? It's cutting yourself off. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with it is that it's that... The reason it's so difficult to deal with is because it's that emotion that has no facial expression. I mean, which is really weird. In shame, there is no facial expression. In embarrassment, you blush. In shame, you hide your face, or you hide inwardly, you're blank. So from the standpoint of dealing with people, most of the time when someone is in shame, anyone that's with them thinks that they are doing something else. And so it becomes this thing which, well, they're ignoring me, or they're not paying attention, or, whatever the mechanism is, then it requires an attack by the other party. And a defense by you. But it'll never be shame that's defended. It'll be some other thing.
Like, I've been thinking about this lately, and I see like anger. It's like you strike out sometimes to kind of as a cover.
Yeah, I mean, many, many, many thousand guises. And so, you end up helpless, hopeless, because by the time anything comes to the surface, the reason for I mean, it's three levels down from, yeah. or up, yeah. from what the cause of the separation was. Uh-huh. It gets blamed on, oh, I want to... It's only an issue to express a guise for shame. But God's got a secret weapon. And the secret weapon is, the moment you justify yourself, well, I don't think being five different people is bad, I'm just playing. The moment you justify yourself, that is the automatic indicator that shame is the root. Can you understand that? No. When we go through this process this weekend, you know, now that I've told you this, you'll try not to justify yourself. Well, that's another interesting exercise.
I had a thing happen today. It never worked
for me.
I thought I would tell Alexis one of the things, you know. And I thought, you know, and I won't justify it, I'll just say it. And boy, right afterwards. But you know, and it was horrible. It was horrible. It was the worst. I couldn't stop.
Oh yeah, you're on a snow slide.
I know, I couldn't stop. I was like, yeah! I'm justifying this. You know, I'm so ashamed. Kiss me.
Oh yeah, that's another one. Prove you love me anyway.
Kiss me now, please.
Oh, just hold me.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Now, the biggie that I want to talk about in terms of what we did last time we met, Monday, was that, if you remember, the last item that I talked about was sexuality, right? In terms of the various forms that sexuality takes. And apparently several of you thought that that meant that you had to sit and tell everybody what you enjoyed in bed. That's not the issue. I don't want you to do that. I want you only to talk about those things that cause shame in you. I don't care about your little sexual habits and peculiarities and weirdnesses, only to the extent that they are a revelator if you feel a sense of shame over them. Now, how do you know you feel shame? I guarantee you the way you know you feel shame is if you're afraid to tell somebody. Now, do you understand? So that's, I mean, it's not like, I don't want to go down a liturgy of your, you know, your sexual kink. I mean, we probably could write a best-selling book about it, but that's not what we're about. That's between you and God and your partner. I'm only interested in you being freed from shame. Yeah. How hair's not going.
Yeah. I want to hear all of it. A year's worth of plans down the drain.
Especially all these new people you
know. New people.
Make the new people first.
And then?
You understand me?
How do you do that?
Jackie. You understand? Grapes? You understand what I meant? Grapes? About the sexuality thing? Now. I mean.
So don't go on this and say, "Sit a mask and it's okay with me."
Well, there's something I don't really like. Don't care as well.
Well, if we did that, Butch, then you would
I give it
all the weekend yeah. would be Butch.
Not that game.
Remember earlier today, I expressed concern because I wasn't feeling shame.
Now I feel some.
I'm not concerned.
What does that mean?
I suddenly feel a lot of shame.
None of your business.
I'm telling you.
Drink it up, day three.
Grilling is still. Grilling is still.
Now, some of the things that...
Nobody can laugh with you up here.
Some of the things that shame is set forth figuratively as in the scripture is it's a wild beast that's devouring you. It's a garment of confusion. It's a blight or a plague in your house. It's a sin against yourself. It's the condensed symbol of Baal, the false god. It's always connected with defeat, reproach, confusion, contempt, cruelty, nothingness, unseemliness, whatever the hell that means. Mm-hmm. But more important, it's connected with being an enemy of the cross. You cannot be in shame and be a friend of the cross. You can't embrace the cross. Therefore, you can't embrace death. And to embrace death is the only way you'll experience resurrection. Now, to know the extent that the Hebrew writers of the scriptures and that God thought about shame is, shame was the very, very worst thing that could be wished upon your enemy. That you would be covered in shame. You understand? So, I mean,
that makes sense.
That then becomes, if it's the worst thing that you can wish upon your enemy, you obviously don't want any of it. Okay? Now,
is that what's in the cup that you have? Is that what's in the cup of trembling? Is it shame?
No, the cup is, remember, we just got through studying that.
Yeah, I know.
It's like a big hand.
From the spiritual standpoint, if you're in shame, you're in exactly the same position that you are if you're an idolater. Or that you, in essence, you are, to God, an idolater isn't just, oh, I got this little idol. To God, an idolater is, that's bad. Because God's really jealous. Now, the possession or retaining of the shame after the cross is impossible. So therefore, it's like, I did this thing you were talking about today in the interview. She was talking about all of the stuff that various, like Jim Baker was accused of, and all of, and she wondered whether or not all these other guys were hiding and stuff. And I was like, I don't know about them, but you know. And then she went down this list and said, yeah, I'm guilty of that. Mm-hmm. Everything she said was, I was guilty of it. I did that. And it just blew her mind. Well, you don't have a reason to live in shame any longer. You were chosen from before your mother's womb. And as I've told you before, but maybe it'll make more clear sense now, every part of your genetic history, all the little DNA and all the little genes on that spiral were all chosen, exactly. Every single experience, positive and negative, in your life thus far has been determined by God. There is no experience, therefore, that is yours. It's only the affliction that's necessary to fill up the body. Your shame is only that which is necessary to free someone else by your exposing it. It doesn't have anything to do with you except as an instrument of ministering, of serving someone else. How can you therefore justify it? It's just something that is. Paul said, in targuming it, he said his only function in life was to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. That's your only function, to fill up the affliction, to fill up the testing. Now, some people, for whatever reason, are unable to remember past a very late, like Tom and Darlene, neither one of them can remember anything before they were 10 years old. Anything. Well, some of you, by your expression of something earlier, will trigger someone else in here who is even unable to get beyond. It's like there's a big wall that prevents, and you always, if you can't remember something, if you can't remember time sequential events, it has nothing to do with you having a poor memory. It has to do that there is a wall there. A wall of pain that has predicated your activities. And normally that wall of pain has to do with rejection, shame. So, if there's something that has been taking place in your life and you put a wall there because of it, then the wall, in effect, covered all the memory. Well, now it's time, again, as the walls of Jericho had to fall as they entered the promise, so the walls of these false walls that keep us isolated have to fall now. And the weird thing about this is, it's not something to be feared, it's something to be anticipated, because the end result of it is that we are then, by that experience, and by your experience that caused you such heartache in the past, is that which will cause us to be knit together in love. And so that you then, the promise, you will be able to laugh at your shame, i.e. you will despise it. But you have never seen me mad until you have laughed at someone else's shame. Because that will destroy them. That will elevate you at their expense. The key is that you would laugh at your own shame, not you laugh at someone else's shame. You understand? Okay. There's a lot of jillion things we could study, but you've got enough to know. I'll read one thing real quick. Yeah, one. Everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, Harry has had his own little thing going on here the last few days. So. My instincts tell, you know, a lot of you, most of you have seen the quote-unquote hot seat. I don't think this is going to be that kind of an experience.
Why do you keep saying you don't think so?
Because he means the opposite.
I need to hear it.
Now the real, you know where the real reason is? Is because we can't use Rick's ranch unless he goes.
Then it won't be Rick's ranch. We'll take it.
Okay, that's all. Y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I haven't finished my list.
Yeah, get on your lists. Take a big guy.